Hello, and welcome to the Bethesda podcast feed. It's here you can find all of our recorded services. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. We hope you enjoy.
Going to 2 Kings 4 right now. 2 Kings chapter 4. And it is great to have Landon in the house today. All the way back. Just awesome. 2 Kings 4, starting with verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. She poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." He said to her, "There's not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." And I'd like to preach a message entitled, "The Miracles in What's Left." The miracles in what's left. And this is Christmassy, somehow, some way, I promise you. Let's say a prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit that we feel in this house right now. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I pray that you would help us, encourage somebody in this room today. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. C.S. Lewis wrote about a place where it was always winter, but never Christmas. In other words, it was always dark and cold, but there was never any hope or joy. In our reading, we see a woman who's living in a forever winter with no Christmas, no hope, and no joy. Her husband, the father of her two sons, had recently died, making her a widow, a single mother, struggling with debt, struggling to make ends meet and take care of her sons. In those days, you could put up your kids for collateral on loans. Seems crazy to us. Some of you are kind of thinking maybe that's not a bad idea. This was allowed under the Mosaic law. And the freedom of those kids was only earned when the debt was satisfied, or in what they had, they called a year of jubilee, where the debts were forgiven, whichever came first. But you could put your kids up. And so her two sons had been pledged for a loan before the father died. And then due to his untimely passing, she was left holding the bag and had fallen behind on the payments. So now the creditor was about to seize her sons for non-payment. Apparently, her husband had taken out this loan, and that doesn't mean that he was bad with money or a bad steward or had financial problems or that she was bad with money or had any kind of issues with finances. Their credit score apparently was high enough for them to qualify, and their debt-to-income ratio was in good shape, so they were approved for the loan. Maybe it was to help them in the family business, their farm. Perhaps it was to help him get through seminary because he was in the school of the prophets. So what seemed like a practical good idea at the time had turned sour because of something no one could have predicted. And the consequences were now all on her shoulders, and her sons were at risk. Talk about adding insult to injury. Salt on a wound. She had lost her husband. And now she has money problems. And now she's about to lose her sons. It would have been understandable had this woman sunk to a level of despair, thrown up her hands, and decided, it's just not worth the fight. I can't pursue this. I can't go on any further. But that's not the woman in our story. The woman in our story was a prayerful woman. She sought out the prophet of God, the one that her husband had followed, Elisha. And she didn't beat around the bush. She presented her need. Can I tell you that we've all made decisions at times that seem like good decisions when we made them, and maybe they were. But as things unfolded in ways that we could have never foreseen, we found ourselves in a heap of trouble. And it would be understandable for us to lose ourselves in sorrow and self-pity and despair. But we need to be like this woman. This woman is such a lesson for us. She was saying, I will not lose my sons. Even though I am powerless to do anything about it, I will make my case to the one who can do something about it. Come on now. Now, perhaps you made some decisions planning for your future growth. Maybe it was something that you thought would help develop your business or develop your life or develop your family. And you've all of a sudden been blindsided by a series of circumstances that you never saw coming. And now you find yourself in some kind of epic jam where it's like a long winter, an unceasing winter with no Christmas, no hope, no joy. Valerie hates cold weather. It may have been because we lived in the mid-Atlantic for 5 years that at times seemed like 10 years. We were carving out, building a church, planting a church, and we were from the deep fried dirty South, and the mid-Atlantic would get what they called nor'easterners. It would be where the Chesapeake Bay and the high and the low systems would converge in a great big nor'easter, and it would just park over Baltimore, Maryland, and just dump snow like you can't even imagine on top of us. Our last year there, we had a couple of days where we got 36 inches of snow in this one storm. And I don't care how many snow plows you have, it shuts the place down. That last winter there, this was in April. The governor issued a warning. He said, if you try to get on the streets, we will pull you over and fine you $1,000 for even trying to get out on the streets. Now, I don't know who was going to pull us over. They probably just fined you in a snowbank somewhere. But they were going to fine you $1,000. And so as a result of that, Valerie hates the winter. So can you imagine being in a forever winter? It's just so cold for so long. And you don't even have the benefit of Christmas. And this sermon works here. It doesn't work in the southern hemisphere because their Christmas is in summertime. Now, Valerie might be interested in that. But a long winter with no Christmas. If that's you, if you've faced some kind of situation where you made some decisions and they seem to sour on you, I want to encourage you today, don't accept a potential loss without bringing your situation to the one who can do something about it. Because I know a man, his name is Jesus. He said it himself, with man things are impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. And as for losing her sons, let me just say this. The devil is after this next generation. This demon-possessed culture is coming to take our kids far away from the Lord, far away from the church, far away from a biblical worldview. And you just can't sit back and let that happen. You need to fight for your babies and intercede for your children, instruct those kids in the way they should go, and equip them in knowing how to fight for themselves. And when it comes to wayward children and prodigals, as we say in the church, sons and daughters that walked away from God, I want to say this to you. Don't give up on anybody, no matter how far they have roamed from home. Get a new attitude that says, devil, you can't have my babies. You can't have my adult children. They're going to come back to the Lord one way or another. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. I spoke to Don Long yesterday. He texted me out of the blue. Don is coming to speak on that Sunday night with his wife. They're going to be talking about a ministry of prayer for prodigals in the church, in this church. And there are so many people that have walked away from the Lord that grew up around the church and around the Lord, but walked away. I mean, in this area, not just here at Bethesda, we're a fairly new church, but generations that are just all in these parishes of prodigal children, sons and daughters. They know the Most High God. They've been in the presence of the Lord. They know the Father's house, but they walked away. I was talking to Don. We're wanting to launch this ministry. And he texted me yesterday. And he said, Pastor, I just want you to know, I have been in my prayer closet this morning. And I have a word of direction for January the 7th, that Sunday night service. I believe God has given me a breakthrough. And he's going to give us a breakthrough on January the 7th. I said, thank you, Don, for even praying about this service, praying about being here and seeking the direction of the Lord for that time. And I concur with Brother Long. God's going to give us a breakthrough. There's going to be sons and daughters that come back to the Lord in this house in Jesus' name. Can you give God some praise for that right now? I love it. Sons and daughters, we need to believe. Let me say this too. We not only need to believe for prodigals, we need to believe that the kids we have now are not going to become prodigals. I do not accept the premise that you got to, you know, kind of come up in church and then go sow your wild oats and then eventually come back maybe. I believe that we ought to raise up kids in the way they should go, and they ought to take over this church. The next generation needs to be running this church. We don't need to go higher when old D.H. is dead and gone. Rest in peace, old Donovan. We don't need to go hire some 50-year-old guy to come in here and be the pastor. We need a next generation that's coming up. Come on now, in-house. That's my belief right there. I don't know why I just talked about my death. Valerie's not here. I could get in trouble. But, I just believe that our kids, man, they need to stay in the Lord. They can grow up in this generation strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ready to do the will of God. Warriors in the kingdom of the Lord. I believe that. Our Bethesda kids, our Refuge Student Ministry kids, young people, coming up. Not walking away while they're at college, but being strong in college and raising up ministry like lions for the lamb and leading those ministries, and then just keep rolling and never turn their back on the Lord. I believe that. There is nothing that this world can offer that compares to what Jesus has done in our lives. There is no intellectual argument that can surpass the power of the Word and the power of the Spirit in our lives. Living for God is not anti-intellectual. As a matter of fact, it's pro-intellectual. It really is. Thinking men and women live for God. Thinking men and women stand for truth. Thinking men and women, God uses them mightily in the kingdom. And so I believe that our kids, they don't have to walk away. They can shine bright in a dark world. Josiah was 8 years old. He became king of Judah. His granddaddy was a fool. His daddy was a fool. But he had a mama named Jedidah. Thank God for godly mamas. Jedidah taught him the ways of the Lord. And when he was a teenager and into his young adult years, her influence was seen in his life, and he did the difficult work of trying to turn a nation around and lead his generation in revival. Timothy was raised in a home with an unbelieving father and a believing, committed mother named Eunice. He also had a praying grandmother named Lois. And Timothy became one of the most influential and successful pastors in all of the New Testament. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's court, full of false religion and fake gods. And he was educated in the corrupt Ivy League University of Egypt. But for the first few years of his life, he was under the influence of his mother, Jochebed. And he grew up and chose God, the God of his fathers, over all the gods of Egypt. Don't give up on your kids. Our God is greater than the demonized culture that we live in. Amen. That was for free. Now, back to the woman in 2 Kings 4. In her distress, she did not run from God. She ran to God. This is a woman who's a newly made widow. She's got financial difficulties. Bill collectors calling. Phone ringing off the wall. Her sons are being threatened. They're going to take her sons away. They're going to repo her sons. And so she is seeking out the prophet of God, Elisha. And she asked for help. She asked for a word, for direction. She wasn't bitter. She didn't shake her fist at heaven and say, look what being in ministry has done for me. Look what God did to me. I'm never going back to that church. I'll never be in ministry again. It's always winter, and it's never Christmas. She was not bitter like that. After the loss and after the tragedy and after the setback, she went to God. And she said, God, there's nothing I can do. But I know that you can do something. There's nowhere else I can go, but I can go to you. And God, I know that you are able. What will you do? Will you do anything to help me get out of this situation? I want to tell you something. Your attitude when the chips are down and when the pressure is on makes all the difference. The old saying, your attitude determines your altitude. There's a truth in that. Your attitude makes the difference when bad things are happening. Your attitude can look at things differently. You can see setbacks as setups and opposition as opportunity and disappointment. You see it, it can be a vehicle that will take you someplace that you never could have gotten otherwise, in a good direction. This woman had an attitude that wasn't angry with God, but she was wanting God to intervene. And so instead of coming in bitterness, she's in desperation. Lord, I've got a problem. I didn't foresee it. We just were doing what we thought to do was right. And here we are in a jam. Can you do anything to help me? That kind of attitude was the right attitude. She went to the prophet Elisha. She didn't bellyache and complain. She just laid out the facts. My husband, your servant, is dead. You know he feared God, and now the creditors have come to collect my boys. And I love this about Elisha, because he's really a picture of Christ here. Elisha did not say, woman, y'all should have managed your finances better. What's wrong with your budget? No, there's no judgment, no condemnation. There's no question of her character. He just said, ma'am, lady, woman, what do you have in your house? In other words, what do you have left? What do you got left? The miracle is found in what you have left. I got a cartoon. This will help portray this. I've been waiting for this for 2 years. I've had this. Help, or take what you have left and make a boat. What do you have left? What's in your house? She said, here's what I've got. I got a bottle of oil. I got some olive oil. I ain't got nothing but me, my boys, and a little bottle of oil. The Hebrew for the word, a little jar, a jar of oil. It does not mean a big old cistern. Like, it doesn't mean a big, you know, cauldron. I've got this gigantic, tank of oil. She says, I've got a jar of, I've just got a little jar of oil. What do you have, woman? I got a jar of oil. The creditors are coming to take my boys. My husband's gone. We were just trying to be in the school of the prophets. We were just trying to fear the Lord and doing our best. And we took out a loan. And now my whole house is in jeopardy. My kid's future is in jeopardy. What do you have? I got a jar of oil. Just a little jar of oil. Not a lot there. Just a little bit. This, I don't know, what was this? Seth went and got this for me. $8? $10? I hope it's no more than that because I gave him 10. And this is Pompeian first cold press, extra virgin olive oil, robust. This might have been $12-15. I know Valerie sent me one time. She's like, I need that cold press, but it was something else in there too. First cold press, and I don't know. There's several. Like, I'm just, I think of Rachel Ray, and I'm going to go get me some EVO, you know. And it wasn't EVO. She said, it needs to be this. I go to Walmart. And when I walked out of there, I dropped like $25 on that stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was just, I don't know. Like, so this is supposed to be the cheaper stuff, but just a little jar of oil. I mean, $8 worth. So if all you have is a little, here's what I want you to understand. God can do a lot with a little. He can give you an instruction with what you got left that turns into a miracle and transforms your future from one of loss to one in they lived on what was left. They lived on what was left. $8. Here was the instruction. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go borrow vessels, containers, pots and pans from your neighbors. What's that fancy kind of stuff we use down here in the South to cook gumbo in? Magnolite. Go get the Magnolite. Go get the cheap stuff. Go get jars and vessels. Borrow from your neighbors, strangers, and bring them into your house and close the door behind you and your sons and take that little bottle of oil and begin to pour it in the vessels. So I want you to go door to door. I want you to get awkward with your neighbors. I mean, so she sent the boys. That's what I love about it. When things are going to get awkward, send the kids. Send the kids. So she sends the boys. I mean, it's your life's on the line here, you know. Like, go out and borrow some vessels. So they're going door to door. Hey, Junior, what's up? Mama sent me out because I need to borrow some vessels, some pots and pans, some jars, planters. Because he's thinking, you know, my life's on the line. So he's like, planters, pots and pans, the dog dish, you know, the cat litter box. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. They're getting everything they can. It's awkward. Why? Well, because we've got a situation, and the Lord told Elisha to tell Mama that we need to borrow some vessels. It was weird. It was awkward. It was a little instruction. I want to tell you something. Sometimes God gives you a little odd, weird instruction, and it seems strange to you, and it may put you in an awkward position. But if you'll do what the Lord says, he's trying to make a way where there seems to be no way. Maybe he's trying to humble you because you're in your arrogance. You don't want to do what he's saying for you to do. It reminds me of the Syrian general that didn't want to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Naaman. It reminds me of when Jesus did certain miracles. He spit on the ground and rubbed mud in a man's eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Strange. Sometimes God asks you to do a strange thing that makes you uncomfortable and awkward, but he's trying to get a miracle into your life. And so here it was, go ask for these vessels. And so they're out knocking doors and they're bringing in as many vessels as they could find. They got everything they could get. And Mama's in the house with the door shut and she's amazed because this little $8 bottle of oil, she's pouring it in. And then she's pouring it in another one. And she's filling up vessels larger than this. This is a miracle. She's filling up big old vessels. And there's a little one. And then she's filling up a big one. And then another big one. And it just keeps flowing. The oil doesn't stop. She's filling up so much oil that at the end of the story, when the prophet comes back in, he says, what happened? She said, well, I filled up everything I could. And when there were no more vessels, because she asked her boys, hey, bring us some more. And they're like, we're out. We've got everything. We got the cat litter. We got everything. Like, there ain't nothing left. And the oil stopped. She tells the prophet. The prophet said, go sell everything that you have and pay off your debt. And then that last line of our reading, and then you and your sons live on the rest. Pay your bills. You can, your husband, I know you miss him, but you're not going to miss him because I have now become your provider. I have provided you with more than enough. Boy, doesn't that sound like the God that we serve? He takes you from I'm strapped, there's no way, into a place of abundance. He brings you into a large place. You are over here all cramped up. He brings you into a large place. I'm speaking to somebody today. You've been in a winter time where there's no Christmas, but God's about to say, Merry Christmas. I've got something for you. It's going to be on the other side of that little instruction that he's giving you. He's going to bring you into a large place, a place of blessing. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Borrowing, and I'm closing with this, borrowing was what got them in a jam in the first place, right? They had a loan. They put the kids up as collateral. You have any collateral? Well, I got Junior and Jimmy. We'll take them. Put Junior and Jimmy up as collateral. And then, never intending to not pay the loan back, the husband dies. And now they're in a jam. The fact that they borrowed got them into a jam in the first place. You know, the Old Testament said the borrower is servant to the lender. And thank God he came up with the year of Jubilee. I think we need a year of Jubilee in the United States of America, right? Where all the debts are forgiven every 50 years. And then you go out and borrow a ton of money on the 49th year, right? Glory to God. I can tell you right now, ain't nobody loaning money on the 49th year. Not crazy money. But here's the deal. Borrowing is what got them into a jam in the first place. So the prophet says, I want you to go borrow again. She didn't complain. She did exactly what she was told. She leaned hard on the word of the Lord. And then she went and took those vessels back. She didn't need them anymore. She returned them. So here's the deal. Going all in makes a difference. I love it when people go all in. People that go all in inspire me as a pastor. And I see it. I see it when people come in the church. When they first start seeing truth, they first start learning about Jesus, they first start getting a deeper understanding beyond just a flannel graph Jesus and just a surface knowledge. They do a deep dive and the lights start coming on and revelation starts coming. I love it because when I see them moving and they just go all, I love that. Ron and LaDonna, you know, just like going all in. Ron has no idea what's going on. Comes to VBS. Guess we have three kids and Ron, middle-aged dude, boat captain, get the Holy Ghost at VBS. And another guy that walked in off the street, you know, at VBS. All in. And just like all in, like I can't get enough word. Like I want the word of God. I'm so hungry for the word. And just they go all in. There's something very powerful about that. Jared Andre right here, watching Jared come in, just not knowing Jack, you know. He knew Madison, but he didn't know Jack, you know. And he comes in, and God starts doing a work in his life. And the next thing I know, God fills him with the Holy Ghost. The next thing I know, he's at man camp. Next thing I know, he's in the baptistry. Next thing I know, he's texting me saying, I got an idea. I would love to have a small group. I would love to do this. Just going all in. I love that when people just dive in. They get in where they fit in, and they're hungry for God. And so this woman illustrates that. She's just all in. And I want to tell you, when you get all in, there's an ancient flow that moves in your life that will make all the difference. How many of you are tired of a long winter with no Christmas? It's time for Christmas. It's time to bring out the Christmas decorations. We bring them out every year, and then we reel them all up, put them in the shed, right? Some of y'all, it's been so long since you've had the decorations out, expecting. That's what Advent's all about, expecting the Savior to move in your life. It's time to, in faith, pull the decorations out and not only celebrate this holiday, national holiday of Christmas, but the idea of God moving in your life again. Would you stand with me right now? The miracles in what's left. What's in your house? What do you have left? What's God speaking to you about? Do you have anything that he can use? How's he going to do that? I don't know. He's probably not going to have you take a bottle of olive oil and go borrow pots and pans from your neighbors and then sell the oil. That's probably not going to be what the Lord's asking of you, but he's going to ask something of you. What's he going to ask of you? What's your next step? Well, it's awful quiet in this Episcopal church this morning. But maybe he's asking you to do something, to give something, to sow something, to lay something down, because he's wanting to bring a Christmas time in your life that will take you through the next season of your life. And it's going to be very different for you. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness and for your kindness and mercy. And I thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season. And God, you laid this thought, this message on my heart this week. And God, I believe that there's somebody that needed to hear it, somebody that's been facing a very long winter, but no celebration, no joy. And really the source of that is because of a lack of hope. No hope. And Father, when we're without hope, it's very difficult, Lord. It's very difficult to look forward, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. When we have hope, we're able to have faith. We're able to have the substance of that, God. We're able to trust, Lord. We're able to move forward. And some people have been stuck in a winter, a cold and dark season. And God, I thank you, Lord, that today you're awakening hope, and you're helping us to understand that I do have something left, and what I have left is enough if I put it into the Master's hands. In Jesus' name. Would you just lift your hands?
Thank you for joining us. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. You can also visit us in person at 15050 Daigle Road, Prairieville, Louisiana. Services are at 10 a.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.